Welcome back. This is lesson two, and the question we're going to be addressing is, why do we think Sunday is the Sabbath? In the Bible, in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 8, we read, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." As we begin, let me review where we left off with the previous lesson, based solely upon the Bible, without any influence from human authorities. As we observe the biblical Sabbath, we should cease from doing the work that we've been engaged in for the previous 6 days, whatever it may have been. We should use care not to forget the covenants God has made with us. We should not forget that God is a God of wrath through those who choose to do evil according to His word. If we fail to honor the Sabbath, we compromise our fellowship with the Creator and our Savior, and thereby allow a greater portion of darkness to enter our lives. Those who are familiar with me and my teaching already understand that my overarching focus and concern is for every lover of God, every true believer, every born-again Christian to read the Bible for what it says. Not what one may think it says, or even believe what it says, but read it for what it actually says. I believe that we should be like the early disciples of Christ, the followers of the way as they were known, and not only believe a few biblical facts, but we are to live out the words we find in the Bible. Basically, we need to obey what the Father tells us to do in His book. Lastly, I do not want you to seek to only be a disciple of the Messiah, but to become a great commissioned Christian by going and making disciples. As I have often said in many ways today in our local churches, some of the things we practice or believe are based more upon the traditions of men than upon the words of God found in the Bible. This is evident in what day of the week is referred to as either the Lord's Day or the day of the week we call the Sabbath. Allow me to read a few quotes to further set the stage for what I am saying. The first is from Abraham J. Hirschkel in his book Between God and Man. To be present of God in the Bible, we must learn to be present to God in His Bible. The Bible is the frontier of the Spirit where we must live and move in order to discover and to explore. It is open to him who gives himself to it, who lives with it intimately. It is the Bible that enables us to know the Bible. It is through the Bible that we discover what is in the Bible. Unless we are confronted with the Word, unless we continue our dialogue with the prophets, unless we respond, the Bible ceases to be Scripture. The expression, "it is the Bible that enables us to know the Bible," is at the heart of Hebrew hermeneutics. Another quote is from Alfred Quinn in his book, I Will Build My Church. As we advance through the centuries, light and life begin to decrease in the church. Why? Because the torch of the Scripture begins to grow dim, and because the deceitfulness of the light of human authorities begin to replace it. End of quote. Traditions established by men are a very serious matter. If it were not so, the Lord Jesus would not have spoken against the religious human authorities he encountered in the first century. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 13 and 14, Jesus refers to the Pharisees as blind guides. How do we know if we have blind guides in our lives? Well, let's see. Do the main activities of your local church have clear biblical foundations? Can you easily go to these scriptures to support the given activity? What percentage of your congregation is actively engaged in going and making disciples? Are you engaged in fulfilling the Great Commission? Can you tell another person the latest biblical truth that you have recently learned through the teachings in your local church? Now, I'd like for you to, not right now, but sometime later, read the following passages in your Bible and make some notes as you read them. You have four passages, all from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 47. Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. And Acts chapter 11, verses 15 through 26. Now, after you do so and you've compiled your notes, carefully study these scriptures and look at your notes and ask yourself this question: does my local church resemble the believers from these passages in the book of Acts? The truth of those questions, the truth of you comparing your local church to what you see in the book of Acts, will quickly tell you if you have blind guides in your life. The next quote is from Michael S. Heiser in his book, The Unseen Realm. Seeing the Bible through the eyes of an ancient reader requires the shedding of the filters of our traditions and presumptions. We view the Bible through the lens of what we know and what's familiar. Our traditions, however honorable, are not intrinsic to the Bible. They are systems we invent to organize the Bible. They are artificial. They are filters. Here's the fact that each of us needs to inculcate into our bodies, souls, and spirits. The Bible never changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. That's right. The biblical Sabbath is still Saturday, the seventh day of the week. Sunday, on the other hand, is the first day of the week. This simple fact challenges many active churchgoers. Sunday, according to the Bible, both the Old and New Testaments, is the first day of the week. Saturday is and has always been the seventh day of the week. Saturday is the biblical Sabbath. You're free to accept this biblical fact or reject it. Your acceptance or your rejection does not change what the Bible clearly states. It was men, human authorities, blind guides, that changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. We find a similar situation today in regards to, for example, the murdering of innocent babies. Man, humans, changed the biblical definition of murder in this case, the murder of unborn babies, and now we define it as a woman's choice. Keep in mind that if the Bible is not the sole standard by which you and I, as followers of Christ, live by, then we really do not have a standard. Emperor Constantine lived from A.D. 272 to the year 337. Constantine looked at himself as the vice-regent of God. The way Constantine saw things, God was the manager in heaven, so he, as the emperor, was here on earth to manage things for him. This raw arrogance makes the likes of a Marshall Applewhite of Heaven's Gate, David Koresh of the Branch Davidians, and Jim Jones of the People's Temple seem like model citizens in comparison. We've all been exposed to what is referred to as political correctness, or the acronym PC. PC is driven by what is considered to be correct thinking. If you have the right thinking, then your speech will reflect it. If your speech is incorrect, not politically correct, by default, your thinking must be wrong. The idea of political correctness is not new. It's been around for ages. PC was very much alive in the Jim Crow South as it was active in the 4th century AD. As with the attitudes about abortion or the Jim Crow South, opinions were influenced more by people than what the Bible clearly teaches. It was the same, this political correctness, during the reign of Emperor Constantine during the 4th century. What was considered correct thinking was defined by the emperor, not the Word of God. Right thinking, being PC, was further defined by the historic institutional church, in particular the emerging Catholic Church. Having a choice in matters affecting Christians and the meaning of the Bible was defined for us by the official church, the emperor, and the pope. This is not an isolated situation from the ancient past. It occurs today. All we've got to do is look around for it. Right now, think about a Christian denomination that is very different from the one you are part of. Name that denomination or church. Just speak it out loud. Now, out loud, articulate what is different about them. You know you have a negative opinion of them, but what is different? Why do you think they are wrong and you're right? This difference may be how the other church operates. Maybe you've heard something about what they do, is the way they operate as a local church. Maybe they've got a way of worshiping God different than yours. Maybe their views on water baptism or the work and role of the Holy Spirit are different than yours. Or the list could go on and on. Now ask yourself, very seriously, very objectively, who is right? You are them. Why do you feel that you are right? Has your opinion been birthed solely from your personal study of the Word of God and your interaction with these other people? Or have your views been shaped by what the religious leaders have told you over the years? You see, if you really feel that you are right and the others, whoever they may be, are wrong, then you are being politically correct according to your denomination or local church leadership. Some years ago, I was invited to be part of a denomination. Later, I was politely asked to leave this denomination. Why? Because my view of the Bible was not aligned with theirs. This particular denomination's opinion was that the Bible was open to personal interpretation. My view was different. Then, as now, I see that the Bible, all of it, is not open to my personal interpretation. That is to say, the author of the book has a meaning behind each word and each sentence. As a teacher of the Bible, my job is to search out his meaning and not insert my personal interpretation into the equation. During the 4th century, the word choice, or being politically correct, became known as heresy, in that if someone disagreed with the established opinion of the church, then by default, those who disagreed were labeled heretics. Let's take a little brief history lesson here. Emperor Constantine I was a pagan sun worshiper. Fact. When he came to power in AD 313, within a few years on March 7, AD 321, he ruled that on the highly respected day of the sun, let the magistrates and people residing in the cities rest, and let all the workshops be closed. Grasp what's being birthed with the actions of this pagan sun worshiper. He wanted the entire Roman Empire to follow his lead, to worship on the pagan sun god's day, which was Sunday. This declaration by Constantine was not fully followed until the Council of Laodicea made its decision about Sunday almost a half a century later. The Council of Laodicea, in the year of 364, decreed, Christians shall not Judaize and be idle on Saturday, but shall work on that day, the Lord's day, and they shall especially honor, and as being Christians shall, if possible, do not work on that day. If, however, they are found Judaizing, they shall be shut out from Christ. This Sunday law was later officially confirmed by the Pope. Basically, if you observed the biblical Sabbath, Saturday, the official church said that you had lost your salvation. Did you notice the anti-Semitic charge to the people not to Judaize and be idle on Saturday? In essence, the religious leaders in the church told the people to no longer pay attention to the foundation of our faith, which is found in the Old Testament. At the stroke of the pen by the Pope, everything the Bible said about the seventh-day Sabbath was null and void. History does tell us that many people did openly oppose this ruling about the Sabbath. However, Emperor Constantine and the leaders in the Catholic Church had no problem exercising torture and in many cases killing any Christians that disagreed with them or stood in their way. In 1876, a cardinal in the Catholic Church by the name of Cardinal Gibbons published a book titled Faith of Our Fathers. If you go to it, on page 89, he openly states that, and I'll quote, "You may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you will not find a single line authorizing the sanctification of Sunday. The scriptures enforce the religious observance of Saturday." End of quote. This Catholic cardinal is speaking truth to his readers. That truth is that the Bible does not make any reference to changing the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. Now, I have personally witnessed how upset some churchgoers can get when I share this truth about the Sabbath. Yet, this Catholic cardinal is just saying what is true according to the Bible. Man changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. God did not. Like it or not, Scriptures enforce the religious observance of Saturday as the true Sabbath. A few years later, in 1893, Cardinal Gibbons wrote this, "The Catholic Church, by virtue of her divine mission, changed the day from Saturday to Sunday." Excuse me. The Sunday Visitor is a publishing house that serves the Catholic Church. One of its publications made a joke about Protestants. "Sunday is our mark of authority," this publication stated. And it goes on to say that the Church, referring to the Catholic Church, is above the Bible. And this transference of Sabbath observance is proof of that fact. Protestants do not realize that by observing Sunday, they accept the authority of the Pope. End of the quote from this publication. Think about it. When you say Sunday is the Sabbath, you are not obeying the Word of God, you are obeying the Pope. Call ourselves Protestants all day long, yet when it comes to Sabbath, most follow the Pope's directive. Allow this statement to settle into your mind and hearts. By changing the Sabbath, the Catholic Church's authority in practice is above the Word of God. At least, that is what they thought. Sadly, this attitude of authority is evident in some of our Protestant churches today. I guess we could say that the Western Christian world drank the Kool-Aid by believing this Sunday is now the new biblical Sabbath. Deception is alive and well. That is to say, as far as obedience goes, the traditions of men are greater than the words of God in our lives. As I wrap up this session, keep in mind that believers can gather any day of the week, any of the 7 days we can gather. We can still come together on Sunday. That's fine. However, the Bible identifies Saturday as the seventh day of the week. From Genesis to Revelation, the author of the book, the author of the Bible, did not change that day, man did. So when you read Exodus chapter 20, verse A, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It is saying, remember Saturday, the seventh day of the week, and keep that day holy. It is a biblical command to honor the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. Well, this wraps up our second session in the series. Until we meet again, may the Lord watch over you. May you walk in His shalom, His peace.